That wasn't so tough, was it? Four-day work week, you gotta like that. Friday in the Beaver Bank Bunker with Jamie and Lisa.
And let's call this the space edition of the Halifax Daily News, dealing with a lot of space things today. First and foremost, Chris Hadfield's coming to town.
Oh?
Yes, indeed. Canada's favorite, and I would say maybe even the world's favorite astronaut, after his musical stylings in space.
Mm-hmm.
Chris is coming to town November the 16th. It's part of a speaking event that he's going to be at, and going to be talking, of course, all about his experiences in the International Space Station. It's going to be at 3 o'clock in the ballroom at the World Trade and Convention Center. Tickets range from student pricing up to $75 a pop. And for more information, you can go to www.uniquelives.com. That's www.uniquelives.com.
You know what's neat about Chris Hadfield is the fact that he is a very good speaker.
Extremely good speaker. And
you know,
just
and
so
good musician,
personable.
Too.
Personable.
Exactly. I mean, people love listening to people who have been in space. But if you think about it, like all the Apollo and Mercury astronauts and those people, they were very stiff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was John, when John Glenn is the loosest of the bunch, you know that they're pretty stiff. They're like, yes, thank you, ma'am. I'm,
Colonel.
You know, like this, you know. And Chris Hadfield, different story altogether. The guy's been out in space.
He made it accessible to the common man.
Yeah, tweeting people back and forth and stuff.
You know, and I would dare say that he has completely reinvigorated the interest in the space program. Now that the shuttle missions are over and done with, we kind of needed something to re-spark our interest.
Yeah.
And I think Chris Hadfield was the guy who did it.
Yeah, and how much are tickets again?
$75, that's the upper end, and they're also going to have student pricing as well.
Where do you get them?
The website is www.uniquelives.com. That's where all the information is. Well, back in the sky, something very strange happened Sunday evening, not on board, but just outside of an Air Canada Jazz plane that was leaving Stanfield International Airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came very close to hitting something at around 6,000 meters. The pilot described the object as a red and white vertical tube with a rotor. And thought is that it might have been some sort of drone or weather equipment, but no one seems to know exactly what it is.
Oh, this is creepy.
Well, I think, you know, the more and more that, you know, drones are being used, this is where the problems are going to come in because, you know, airplanes eventually are going to have run-ins with these drones. Now, 6,000 meters seems a bit higher than most drones usually
go. Why don't you tell
me?
You have to talk feet. What would 6,000 meters be in feet?
Oh, crap.
Well, I mean, everything we do in when it comes to flying, it's like we're now flying at 100,000 feet. And
just over 19,600 feet. The aircraft was climbing.
That's up there.
That was up there.
That's further up than I jumped from, that's for sure.
And certainly further
notice
up.
That's how I put that in there?
I just
jumped
from
a plane. Thank
jump
you. Any
plane.
Any opportunity.
But certainly it's a lot higher up than most drones are known to go. So that's why they're thinking that it might have been some sort of weather.
Well, or maybe alien invasion?
Oh, no. Red and white vertical tube with a rotor? No. I mean, they pretty much
determined. Oh, they're all saucer-shaped, those things, with little green men. How the hell do you know? Maybe it's a different planet. Maybe it's a completely different species and they've never been here before. And their mode of transportation is a red and white vertical tube. Maybe
with
it was
a rotor.
With a rotor. Maybe it was a barber shop pole that was catapulted into space by mistake. You know?
There it is. We're putting our money on the weather equipment. But
you put your money wherever you want. I say it's alien invasion.
Transport Canada says they're going to continue to look into it. No one was ever really in any danger at any point during that. And the pilot was able to just sort of keep an eye on things and make sure that the plane and the red and white vertical tube with rotor object did not come in contact with them.
So was this that big kerfuffle that you told me about when you were at the CBC there?
Oh, no. That was something completely different. That was Tuesday night that happened. It was a United Airlines flight that was traveling from Newark to Brussels. And a fire broke out in the galley. And so they put it out with a fire extinguisher, but the pilot made the executive decision to land in Halifax anyway. And so that's what happened about 10 o'clock or so, I guess, on Tuesday evening.
That's what Halifax is best at. being here.
Oh, yeah.
For support. When anything goes wrong.
That's true.
You could go back to 9/11. Let's land in Halifax. Mm-hmm. They'll be good for that. You go back to...
Hey, we were here for Sting. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, he was here like overnight or something, wasn't he, at the airport?
Yeah, his girlfriend, wife, Trudy, went into premature labor, I think it was, or had some sort of medical emergency, and they had to divert the plane here to Halifax.
So was his child actually born in Halifax?
No, but plane landed, and he ended up having to lay over here for a couple of hours. So I'm just trying to think. That was like, God, late 80s. I think that even predates when you moved to town. But I do remember it specifically because it happened on my birthday. So that I think that's the only reason why I do remember it.
Think about it. All Canadian troops that went to war came through Halifax. People don't realize that. But back in World War II, when the Canadian troops went over to Europe to fight, they all left from here.
No, that's true. It's not like they're on flying. The ship.
They all went on ships and they all left from here.
Yeah, that's true.
And my mom pointed that out to me when she was here. She goes, you know, this whole Parade Square, this is pretty intense stuff. Your great uncle Jack, he would have been right here in Parade Square. That's where they all lined up and then they marched right down to their ships and then left.
How would they have traveled here? By train? From parts otherwhere in the country? Like
walked? I don't know.
Walk from Edmonton.
Train, I guess.
Yeah.
Or fly. I mean, you could fly, but just cross, you know, transatlantic flights were not that big of a thing back in the
day. Exactly.
So there they go, off to war, through Halifax, through thick and thin.
True enough.
So what were we originally talking about?
The red and white vertical tube with the rotor.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, doing God's work.
Let's stick with the space theme.
Sure.
Ever so quickly. Went to see a movie the other day. Went to see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Like everybody else in the world.
Apparently so. Yeah. Still the number one movie in North America. And
Do we have a review?
I think I'm going to ask you your thoughts on it.
Fanfare, please. I thought it was terrific for what it was.
Okay.
It was definitely a comic book kind of movie. It was a fantasy movie. I think I would call it the Star Wars for this generation. You know, it was kind of fun.
Okay.
I was expecting somebody to say, Luke, they're coming in too fast. I mean, it was that kind of, it was an action adventure, but it was done well. It was funny. And the music made it.
Yes, yes.
Every single song on that movie playlist, I knew and I loved. And that made it for me. How about you?
Enjoyable romp. I am not a comic book fantasy type in the least. My biggest fear...
Well, you're into fantasy. Remember the shepherd and the lost sheep that we did?
Different kind of fantasy altogether.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But no, I mean, my biggest fear was that I would have had to have been familiar with...
Hang on. The shepherd and the lost sheep, of all the things for me to come up with fantasy-wise, that's a bit weird. Like that's a bit creepy.
It tells us something about your psyche. I think none of us need to know.
Well, let's just say the farmer's daughter and the weary traveler.
Okay.
Okay, let's forget that whole sheep thing. That was just the first thing that came up. Okay, back to our originally scheduled program.
Yeah, talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, Oh, yes, your review.
Yes, my biggest fear was that you would have to be familiar with the characters and the whole comic book in order to enjoy it. Such is not the case, but you certainly do have to have a love for something that's a bit campy and definitely, you know, comic booky. Mm-hmm. It felt to me like a ride at Disney. Just sort of the characters and the whole Disney.
It was a three coupon ride. Well, very much like the Indiana Jones movies. Like those ones I would watch, I would love, I would laugh, I think it was great. I'd walk out of the theater and immediately back to normal. Like it wasn't like one of those movies that I kept thinking about all the time. It was fun while you were in the theater. And then the second you walk out, it's over and done with.
Yeah. Suffice to say, Bradley Cooper plays a brilliant talking raccoon.
Yeah.
I very much enjoyed that character. That was great. So if you're into a fun fantasy, good summer romp
for the whole family too, that's another good thing about it.
Absolutely. PG.
Mm-hmm. Do you think a lot of those songs are going to come back now? For the younger generation.
No, perhaps.
Blue Swede, The Runaways.
Perhaps.
I mean, just the 10cc. just terrific music from beginning to end.
If, you know, at the very least, there should be a resurgence in Walkman sales. Hey, some good news. Update you on the story we told you about yesterday about the Ward 5 Community Center and their kitchen having to shut down.
Yes.
It would appear that a gentleman by the name of Steve Williams has donated a commercial dishwasher to the Ward 5 Center, allowing the kitchen to reopen. So they are back serving meals in the North End.
So I thought you said it was a license that they needed that they were going without.
Well, they needed to be up to code in order to get the license.
Gotcha.
So now that they're sort of up to code, they can take care of the paperwork.
And he heard it here on the podcast too, by the way.
That's the rumor that we're spreading.
We just started it, but tell everybody. We saved the Ward 5 Community Center.
Sticking with the restaurant theme, there's a couple of East Coast restaurants that are in the running for Canada's Best New Restaurant of the Year.
Hmm.
Edna Restaurant in Halifax is up for the award. Mallard Cottage in St. John's, the other one. There are 30 eateries in total that are vying for top spot, and Canadians can vote online through Air Canada's En Route magazine. It's the People's Choice Award, and it's eligible. All eligible restaurants opened between late spring of last year and June of this year in order to vote. So again, En Route magazine, if you want to show them a little bit of love.
Off to the email bag.
Yes.
This has to do with yesterday's podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and you talking about taverns and lanterns.
Yes, here we
Kat
go.
Kat Fulton said, well, you made me think again. Tavern. Both are fine in the Maritime. Same for the old Green Lantern or Lantern building. My vote is with Lisa this time. Funny you picked up on that. I didn't catch it at all. I use both versions of both words, yet say intern and Jules Verne. Oh, what was the other one that I figured out that you said too?
Stubborn. Yeah.
Stubborn.
Anyway, stubborn.
Back to the letter here. She says, maybe it's because tavern was often pronounced as three syllables. Tavern. And then that pesky E got ditched. We proud Maritimers talk weird, plain and unsimple, or simple. Whichever one fits. How about those locals calling their home Chesuncook?
Chesuncook. Chesuncook, yeah.
Made me smile to hear Jamie pronounce the word pronunciation properly. You'll go fair with that. She says F-E-A-R.
Nice.
Actually, yeah, that's one that drives me crazy when people say pronunciation. It's pronunciation.
Yeah, none.
But you know what? We're all in this together, folks. And my story, I might as well open it up because a lot of people said, how could you be so mean to Lisa? You know, I'm sure you make mistakes too. Well, on Q104.
Yes.
Absolute ridicule by this woman across from me right now.
Yes.
Because I was reading. I knew what the word was. I've said it a million times. And I've read it a million times, but I never put the two together. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Like when I read this particular word,
yes,
I read it in a different way than I pronounced it. I thought they were two completely different words, but they weren't.
Okay.
And I was reading something and about something going awry.
Yes.
And I said, yes. Well, that's when it went awry.
Yes.
And in my mind, that was awry. And I knew what awry meant. Surprisingly enough, it means the same thing as awry.
Apparently so.
And you laughed. We couldn't even finish the morning.
No.
Do you remember that? Both you and Harv made fun of me for saying "owry" rather than "awry." So, yeah, I've made my stupid little mistakes as well.
No, actually, I think the one that we laughed over more than anything else was Sweet Judy Blue Eyes.
Oh, that's right. That was the pride of DJs everywhere to talk over the introduction of a song and then to end right as the person starts singing.
It's called hitting. That's called hitting the post.
Hitting the vocal. And so you're just talking away, and the song just happened to be "Sweet Judy Blue Eyes" by Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
That's right.
And so I talked right up until when the vocal was about to start.
Yeah.
And I said, I remember this. You want to see a great version of this particular song? You have to look at the Woodstock movie, because it was Crosby, Stills, and Nash on stage with the spotlight down on them, two acoustic guitars, and three incredible vocals. And here they are now with "Sweet Bloody Jew Eyes." And then they started singing. So there was nothing I could say.
No.
I just sat there and we all looked at each other in horror. And finally, I just quietly turned the microphone off and thought, well, that was kind of stupid, wasn't it? And Harv, I thought Harv was going to pee right there in the control room.
Oh, God.
I forgot all about that.
That was classic.
Yeah, let's make fun of Jamie Day today. So hopefully Perfect. That more than makes up for me making fun of your tavern
yes.
situation. Anyway, Kat Fulton, thank you once again for your email.
Yes. Some beach notifications just to let you know. Springfield Beach closed for swimming. So if you're up in Middle Sackville looking to go for a dip, Springfield Beach on Springfield Lake has been closed until further notice.
Here's another email we got, this time from our favorite almost mayor, David Boyd.
Oh, yes.
Hello, friends. I'm in the process of buying my own micropower under 1 watt AM radio transmitter and broadcasting on AM 1620.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for a name for my radio station and a logo. If you're interested, please contact me. I hope to have the transmitter online by September 1st out of North End, Dartmouth, with about a 2 to 4 click range covering the area. For more information, contact me on Facebook. I don't know. Should we have a contest to help name David Boyd's radio station? Mm. Or should we just tell you if you're into graphic arts and you want to design a radio logo, or if you have a neat name for his radio station or whatever?
902 Radio.
Oh, that's our area code.
Yeah.
But no, because usually when you have a number in there, that's for your frequency. Everybody will start turning to 902 and 1620. Those are two numbers. Believe it or not, this is a true story. The last two numbers of my locker combination in grade 12.
It's 16 and 20?
Yeah. 4, 16, 20. That was my locker.
I can't Why do still I remember that.
My locker combination? But but yet I forget things like, oh, I don't know.
Our anniversary.
Yeah. Oh.
Monday.
Oh, Monday.
You still have time. It's
Monday. I remembered. I knew that. I've been planning. If anybody has any ideas whatsoever what I can do for the anniversary, please get in touch with me, jamieandlisa.ca. Thank you.
Some other stuff going on this weekend. Gus is having a birthday.
Ah, Gus the tortoise at the Museum of Natural History.
Correct. 92 years old on Sunday, and they're having a party between 11 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. on Sunday, so go on out. Usually they have cake and balloons and prizes and that sort of thing. So,
well, it's a great excuse to get down and bring the kids to the museum. The neat thing about it, you know, a few generations anyway have petted Gus. And if you notice, his shell is all shiny and smooth. It's from all the people petting him.
Yep.
And I guess he puts up with it. He's living a longer life than I'm expecting to live.
Also, it's the Halifax Seaport Beer Fest this weekend. Over 110 beer producers. It's all at the Kennard Center, August 8th and 9th, and tickets are still available. All sorts of food. And they'll have some special booths there as well from Ireland, Maine, Ontario, Quebec, and a new booth dedicated to cask ales. Not sure what that is, but love to find out. Craft beer, imports, and cider all included. And again, it's at the Kennard Center this weekend. And the kids are bored this weekend. Take them down to Victoria Park for the Spring Garden Children's Festival, August the 9th, from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. All sorts of music and games and prizes. All sorts of fun for the kids. A little something to keep them active this weekend. You can take a ride on a train. They're going to have bouncy castles and giant-sized games as well. So face painting, balloon, arts and crafts. And although it is technically free, they will be accepting donations for the IWK. And again, it's at Victoria Park right there at the top of Spring Garden Road.
And I do believe that is all the time we have for today's podcast. So let's wrap up the week. Head into the weekend, pick something up for the anniversary, and we'll be back again on Monday.
Until then.